Each year, the Washington-based League of Conservation Voters releases a scorecard that rates the performance of members of Congress on environment and energy issues. Legislative Director Tiernan Sittenfeld says this year's scorecard reflects an ambitious legislative agenda for the environment in both the House of Representatives and the Senate.
The 2009 scorecard includes 11 Senate and 13 House votes dominated by clean energy and global warming.
Among the environmentally significant bills Congress passed last year was the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, a nearly $800 billion economic stimulus package. $80 billion of that total was to be pumped into the U.S. economy to promote development of renewable energy, urban mass transit, high-speed rail systems, and clean energy jobs. Congress also boosted environmental funding and passed a public lands law. And last June, says Sittenfeld, the House passed the American Clean Energy and Security Act, the first bill out of either chamber of Congress to directly take on the challenge of global warming.
The single biggest step that Congress can take in 2010 is to finish the excellent work started by the House by swiftly passing a comprehensive clean energy and climate bill.
I think it's important to remember that in that vote in the House, it passed only by 7 votes, and there were 44 Democrats who voted against, 8 Republicans who voted in favor.
University of Michigan political science professor Barry Rabe says that in the months since that House vote, members have shifted positions.
It's not at all clear if you took exactly that same bill back to the House today that it would pass. Some of the supporters on the Republican side have expressed concerns. A number of the Democrats who voted for, particularly from agricultural districts, about 38 legislators have suggested that today they might view that differently.
But before any bill can become law, the Senate must pass its version. The House and Senate bills must be reconciled, and that final measure must be signed by the president. Rabe says the League's 2009 congressional scorecard indicates that most of the votes on energy and the environment were split along party lines, reflecting the deep political divisions evident in other congressional efforts.
You know, if you see a number of scores on a 100-point scale in the 40, 50, 60 range, that suggests people are kind of moving back and forth. You see an awful lot of folks on one side close to zero and on the other close to 100%. And I think that underscores some of the divides, mainly along partisan lines, not exclusively so, but that we've seen so far in this Congress.
Rabe says as the November 2010 midterm elections approach, prospects for any sweeping climate legislation are growing slimmer.
And that instead we're more likely to see something that is somehow more directly connected or arguably is connected to things like economic development and jobs creation.
Rabe adds that the 2009 Muhlenberg, Michigan National Survey on Climate, a public opinion poll released in January, finds voter concerns about the environment have declined, eclipsed in part by the economy, unemployment, banking, and growing skepticism about government.
And this is often the case when you go into a declining economy that environmental concerns decline somewhat, in part because, you know, the impact of environmental problems, certainly climate change, are not likely to be felt immediately. They're likely to be felt down the road, and it's compelling then to kick that proverbial can down the road and focus on whatever the issue of the moment is.
League of Conservation Voters President Gene Karpinski says opposition from the oil industry is another major roadblock to congressional passage of a comprehensive climate bill.
Big oil and their friends in Congress are united to try to stop this. They're spending tens of billions of dollars, record amounts of money, trying to stop this.
But Professor Rabe believes partisanship poses an even greater roadblock.
My own view is that we have not had a terribly robust debate. What we have tended to have is a debate dominated by extreme statements, probably on both sides of the equation. And so in that sense, you know, I'm certainly sympathetic with what might be stated by the LCV. The tricky part is presenting this in a way that is credible and allows for serious discussion.
One key to breaking the current impasse on climate and energy legislation, says the League's Gene Karpinski, will be if the public demands stronger leadership from members of Congress and from the White House.
The challenge on our part is to, number one, look for that presidential leadership. The president has signaled very publicly his interest in passing a bill that includes a price on carbon. If to get the bill right, it needs to have a price on carbon, a comprehensive bill that includes capping pollution. We need more leaders in the Congress to step up, and we need to make sure that the public sends a message loudly and clearly that they want this done.
Karpinski says to do that, the League of Conservation Voters has mounted a nationwide campaign to build support for new climate legislation among labor, industry, and veterans groups who have been suspicious of the measure's potential impact on the American business community. The League hopes it can convince skeptics that a vote for a new climate law will be good not only for the U.S. economy, but for the planet as well. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.